yellow vests who were crippled, blinded, and mutilated by police. On every Saturday from November 2018 until June 2019, a national bloodletting took place on a scope which was unprecedented in recent Western history. The numbers are as staggering as the lack of Western condemnation for the French government. At least 11,000 arrests, 1,000 imprisoned, 5,000 protesters seriously hurt, 1,000 critically injured, scores maimed for life, and 11 deaths. Those who suffer the most say they don't want to be forgotten when voters go to the ballot box.
When you're mutilated by the police, there's naturally a lot of suffering and a lot of complications to our daily lives. But we keep our head held up high to show what Mr. Macron has done to his own people.
The huge phalanx of armed police, which still accompany the yellow vests every Saturday, kept their distance, while the mainstream media was not present at the protest almost at all.
It is the average citizens who supports us, because we do not even exist to this state or to the justice system. Where there is no police brutality and there are no victims, then how can we exist?
Over 75% of cases involving hurt protesters are immediately dropped without any court case or even an investigation. Punishment of police for mistreating yellow vest anti-government protesters has been almost non-existent.
By denying that there was any police brutality, the government legitimized it. How can we have confidence in a government which cripples its own citizens or in institutions which do not intervene to stop that? It is truly barbaric violence which chose to mutilate people simply because they believe in a better future.
The yellow vests are routinely credited with an approval rating of 75%, an unheard-of score in a country where perceptions of political corruption are commonplace. The state-sponsored police brutality, combined with the so-called anti-yellow vest laws, scared many into no longer attending public protests. President Emmanuel Macron is expected to win a close re-election, but the damage to France's international reputation cannot be estimated. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
As the sun sets, this divine voice calls for prayer. But during the fasting month of Ramadan, it also means that the fasting hours are over and Muslims can eat iftar, or the breakfast. In Iran, the Ramadan crescent was sighted on the eve of Sunday, so Sunday was announced as the first day of the holy month.
Ramadan is not just about abstention from eating and drinking. It's a time to purify your soul and contemplate on your mission as a human being. It's an occasion to pray and get closer to God.
This holy month is a perfect time to be the best version of ourselves. We take part in charity works and try to be kind to people around us. It is a month of God, and it is so beautiful.
This is the third year in a row that Muslims observe the fasting month amid the coronavirus pandemic. But this year, COVID restrictions are eased, as the pandemic has partly subsided.
It's the first time after more than 2 years that Muslims mark Ramadan without serious worries over the coronavirus. With the majority being vaccinated, the holy month will once again see Muslims getting together for mass religious ceremonies and prayers.
Taking part in congregational prayers is one of the rituals Muslims do before iftar. Last year, such ceremonies were largely curtailed due to the pandemic. This was also the case for the 19th, 21st, and 23rd nights of Ramadan, known as the Nights of Glory, when Muslims congregated mosques to pray and make wishes.
This year, we will host worshippers for the Nights of Glory. During the past 2 years, praying ceremonies were either cancelled or held with social distancing and with a limited participation to curb the pandemic.
Last year and the year before, I caught the virus and couldn't fast the entire month of Ramadan. But thank God, this year everyone is vaccinated and we can observe the holy month together.
Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. Based on this calendar, months begin and end depending on the movement of the moon in its orbit around the earth. And the start of each month depends on the sighting of the new moon the day before. The holy month will end with a major festivity called Eid al-Fitr, or the Festival of Breaking the Fast. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Some 2 million Gazans are observing another holy month of Ramadan under the Israeli blockade for the 16th time in a row. Muslims around the world enjoyed this holy month while people in Gaza struggled to observe it under inhumane conditions. People in the tiny coastal enclave have limited access to food and they are also denied the right to freedom of movement. During this holy month of Ramadan, most Gazans are impoverished as their incomes continue to dwindle because of the crippling Israeli blockade.
The situation in Gaza, especially during the holy month, is very difficult. Poverty and unemployment rates are very high, and people can hardly afford to buy food to prepare their meals and break their fasting.
People usually shop for food items to prepare their iftar meals a few hours before iftar time, which takes place at dusk. Gazans, meanwhile, find it very hard to prepare their fast-breaking iftar meals due to the harsh economic conditions.
Ramadan is a wonderful month, but people are having a hard time because of the Israeli blockade. There is no purchasing power, and most people just walk around the goods while hardly buying anything.
According to UN reports, the majority of people living in the Gaza Strip are receiving some sort of aid to survive. Unemployment and poverty rates have skyrocketed, and poor people have been getting poorer year after year.
Israel work against the international law. The siege is continued at the time we are in the beginning of Ramadan. Blockade means poverty. Blockade means high average of unemployment.
Experts say the Israeli regime has been fueling misery and suffering in the tiny coastal sliver.
Thousands of Gazan families can't afford to buy food to prepare their Ramadan meals amid the dire economic situation. They mainly blame the suffering on the Israeli blockade. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
In the limelight.
War-torn Yemen and Afghanistan have seen deadly spikes in hunger, with 13,000 Afghan newborns starving to death this year alone, according to Human Rights Watch. Stay with us for an article in this regard, written by Brett Wilkins, journalist. This article is published under the heading, As Global Food Crisis Looms, Groups Blast Proposed $1.65 billion USDA Cut. Here's the story. More than 160 advocacy groups have recently sent letters to President Joe Biden and congressional leaders decrying a proposal to slash up to $1.65 billion in U.S. Department of Agriculture funding, a move that comes during a pandemic-driven global hunger crisis. House lawmakers introduced the Coronavirus Supplemental Appropriations Act in March in order to fund ongoing COVID-19 pandemic management by cutting $1.65 billion from USDA's 2021 allotment, or about 5% of the agency's total programs and operations budget. The Senate and subsequently the White House have expressed support for the measure. Although House Appropriations Committee Chair Rosa Del Lauro said the proposed legislation will not have any problematic offsets, critics, including the groups signing the recent letters, contend it will take money away from essential food system resiliency programs, arguing that the proposed cuts will diminish the ability of food and farm system to respond to future disasters and crises. The letter's signers urge Biden and Congress to continue to honor investments in a more just, equitable, and resilient food and farm system, particularly to the historically undeserved people and communities who comprise it. The COVID-19 pandemic has laid bare the multiple vulnerabilities of highly consolidated food system, the letters state, adding, and even after years of robust federal response, supply chain disruptions continue, and rising food prices put more families at risk of nutrition insecurity. Ultimately, the $1.65 billion proposed rescission will impact the most vulnerable among us, the signers warn, and will leave USDA without resources to respond to supply chain disruptions exacerbated by the instability in Europe and attendant market and input price disruptions. Farm Action, which signed the letter, said in a statement that this money grab is particularly hard to swallow when you consider that we are on the brink of an international food crisis. Food inflation is already up 20%, and farmers are probably looking at yet another year of negative income. The group added, Congress needs to understand that the programs they're stealing from are every bit as important to keep people safe and healthy. The proposed cuts come amid a pandemic-driven surge in hunger in the United States and around the world. Oxfam have recently warned that West Africa is facing its worst food crisis in a decade, with 27 million people currently suffering from hunger and another 11 million at risk of being pushed into hunger in the next 3 months. Last month, Oxfam said 28 million people in East Africa are at risk of extreme hunger amid a drought of historic proportions. War-torn Yemen and Afghanistan have also seen deadly spikes in hunger, with 13,000 Afghan newborns starving to death this year alone, according to Human Rights Watch.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Here at The Key, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners on this most auspicious month, which is the month of Ramadan. You know, the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed. In fact, according to a lot of Quranic commentators, the virtue, the superiority of the month of Ramadan with respect to other months is precisely because of the revelation of the Holy Quran in this month, not because of we fast in this month, right? Because, you know, in the Quran we read, شَهْرُ رَمَضَان الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, right? When God wants to speak about the month of Ramadan, he mentions as its distinction, the fact that the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. So the virtue of this month comes from the revelation of the Holy Quran in this month. In this session of The Key, we would like to ask a question which is pertinent to this subject, the Quran, and that is, and also pertinent to the month of Ramadan, because the month of Ramadan is not only the month of, the Quran, it's also the month of well-being and health. We fast because to get healthy. You know, one of the benefits of fasting is healthy. And, you know, health is one of those things that everybody wants to be healthy these days. It's something that, you know, everybody's looking into and wants to. So people ask, you know, what does the Quran have to say about good health and well-being and soundness of the body, of the spirit, and these kind of things? Right. So this is obviously a very vast topic, and, you know, we can't answer this question, you know, in detail in just one session. Probably we're going to have to look at it in a couple of sessions. But if we take a cursory glance at the verses of the Holy Quran, we can see, yes, the Quran does pay great attention to this, health of the body, health of the spirit. It mentions material and spiritual factors which lead to health. For example, eating. Right now, we're going to answer this question in a very concise and brief manner. Inshallah, in the forthcoming sessions, maybe we can elaborate it on more. It refers to eating pure foods, staying away from unclean foods. Obviously, there is the prohibition of, you know, drinking intoxicants such as wine and liquor. Conversely, the Quran mentions, honey. This is in one verse as a food which is leads to good health. It also mentions the role that taqwa and piety plays in the well-being, spiritual well-being, and health of a person. Also, there are the various ethical traits, good ethical traits that the Quran mentions, you know, such as patience, right, reliance and tawakkul on God, the remembrance of God, obviously, as a cause and a factor leading to the well-being and the spiritual soundness of a person. These are all things which, you know, which the Quran alludes to and talks about and refers to when talking about the spiritual and physical well-being and health of an individual. So yes, the Quran does allude to this, and it's very pertinent for us today, especially when, you know, we're human beings these days are, you know, encountering all kinds of different spiritual and physical maladies, especially today, when we're encountering this pandemic that we're in. The Quran definitely has a lot to say to us about it. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were examining what the Quran says about spiritual and physical well-being. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
the 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
As spirituality fills the air, people are automatically drawn to the iftar table at sunset when it is time to break fast. That's in Ramadan, the month of Muslim fasting. You don't have to be a practicing Muslim to want to join in. Fortunately, hospitality is second nature to Iranians and people of the region. So it wouldn't be hard to get a taste of the puddings and savouries served and a sense of the appreciation that comes after a whole day of abstinence from food or drink or smoking. That's abstinence from dawn to dusk that goes on for the whole of the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. It's tasty but simple, yet not cheap. Times are expensive and fasting can always do with a little help here and there. And that's what Ramadan is all about, really, doing good. So it's a win-win situation, both for those receiving alms in the form of cash or meals and those giving them out. That's believers, charities, religious organizations, and the government. For a view of Ramadan in Iran and what Ramadan means to Muslims at large and to Muslim unity, stay with me, Leila Faramarzi, on Iran Today. Iranian New Year 1401 has brought our pre- and post-Islamic periods together. As the Nowruz or New Year holidays ended in picnicking April the 2nd, Ramadan began April the 3rd. A welcome coincidence. Mr. Jamshidi is a religion expert. He came to Press TV studios early one morning during the holidays to share his view.
Iranians are essentially seeking justice and pure spirituality free of materialism, and that's why they are interested in Imam Ali's virtues, Shia's first Imam, and made him their role model. Apart from Imam Ali, the Islamic values, not considering those of the Umayyad and Abbasid caliphates we don't accept, have been the very virtues Iranians had lost. It seems as if before Islam was introduced to the country, the Iranian society had been shrunken and fenced. But this change in religion has somehow released the energy and made Iran the peak and zenith of the Islamic civilization. Iranians have become pioneers in every field.
It's a month of revelation, birth and death. Cause for celebration and mourning in reverence. Ramadan is when the Quran was revealed. Hassan, second Shia Imam or leader, was born of the Prophet's line, and Ali, the first Shia Imam, was assassinated. Also, it's when a conclusive battle at Badr was won, and Muslims must fast, except in travel or if sick or pregnant. Now, what basically sets apart an officially Shia Iran from the rest of the Muslim world at large is that in Iran, the first Shia Imam, Ali, is officially mourned on the day of his demise or martyrdom, 21st of Ramadan. Similarities, however, between the Sunni and Shia versions of fasting and festivity are much greater than their differences. But similarity in Sunni and Shia versions of fasting and festivity is far greater than differences. And the deeper meaning of whatever rite and ritual is common to all. The basic idea of fasting is self-control, empathy for the poor, forgiveness, and appreciation of God's bounty. Self-control is believed to benefit the individual by elevating his or her spiritual nature or energy.
I mean, there may be superficial differences between Shias and Sunnis, but the deeper we go, the more commonalities there are. What you just mentioned is true when we talk about the essence. What you said is only natural. The social and cultural values on a transitional scale can help shape a civilization. That's because civilization isn't bound to the geographical borders of a nation. We can't consider a government and its people a civilization. Civilization is the sum of several societies, several governments and nations joined to form a civilization. That's the preliminary supposition. What binds them together are the strong religious commonalities.
Ramadan is both a reminder and a practice, as I've seen visitor Iran put it. It comes every year to remind us to be good to others, be they man, animal or plant. Mr. Rostami is University Professor of Islamic Sects. He joined us on Skype.
ببینید ماه مبارک رمضان تنها یک ماه.
The holy month of Ramadan is not a month for worship per se. It's a whole culture. Ramadan is the month of cooperation. Assistance, getting closer to relatives, helping the poor, avoiding and ending grudges, selfishness and others. This month is a time for practicing good qualities and avoiding indecencies. All these characteristics of Ramadan have given the holy month a special place in the Muslims' religious culture and official and oral rhetoric, especially among Iranians. Ramadan is represented as a special month in the poems of Hafez and other Iranian poets. Worshipping during this month is quite a great gift.
The deeper meaning of Ramadan is expressed or celebrated in ritual and custom and in a multi-tribal Iran in many different tones. Ramadan has a nightlife of its own, with cities coming to life from dusk, but with the whole family participating. Tehran, the capital, is lit up more than usual, with food stalls open, some from dusk to dawn, and restaurants and cafes and stores open till really late. Eating is permitted from dusk till dawn, but not obligatory. However, it is not allowed to eat in public outside these hours in Iran. But as travelers often cannot abstain, hotel restaurants everywhere are open at regular hours, as are supermarkets and bazaars. Mr. Ahmadi Sadr is managing director for the Social Security Organization. We met him at the municipality's welfare organization to see what they've done to cheer up the air for the deprived in Tehran, given it's been a two-in-one occasion to deal with.
We had a variety of programs scheduled over the past year. We have had detailed plans for children of labor. We have thrown parties for orphans. We were with orphan children at the moment when the new year began. The orphans who have no parents. Everybody wants to be with their family on New Year's Eve, and we were with ours. Together with Tehran's mayor, Dr. Zakani, we had a great event in Milad Tower for the orphans. We spent happy moments there because the children were happy. The five-hour event started in the year 1400 in the solar calendar and went on until midnight on the first day of the year 1401. The children were very happy and had fun. We took them to the amusement park, served them dinner, and gave them toys. We have had such events during the year. We will have similar plans for Ramadan as one of the tens of such plans in the year.
For those wanting to participate in Ramadan ritual, mosques usually provide iftar, as do private homes. This evening fast-breaking meal, iftar, which follows the evening prayer, can often come as nazri or alms offered for a wish to be granted or to thank the Almighty for a wish already granted.
We predicted that we would provide assistance packages in the holy month of Ramadan and during the Nowruz holidays to 30,000 households that meet the criteria that we have set. We donated some of those packages on New Year's Eve, some others during the Nowruz holidays, and the rest will be distributed by the end of Ramadan, God willing.
A province particularly colorful in Ramadan is Semnan. Among its customs and traditions are nighttime singing, sewing a wish bag or bag of blessings, the henna or hair hand and foot dyeing ceremony, knocking on doors of houses to receive broth and pudding, and cooking local foods. It's on Ramadan the 27th, or the last Thursday of the month, when women and girls get together to sew a bag each for themselves, in which they put some money, say a prayer, and blow on it, and then keep it in their trunks until the next year. In some parts of the province, people even go onto the rooftops of homes and mosques. That's 1 hour before sunrise, to sing poems and recite prayers. There's a purpose to it, to wake others up.
Quran's verses and different hadiths have underlined the sheer value of the month. The holy month of Ramadan is so important that verses 84 and 185 of Surah Al-Baqarah talk about fasting, its rules, and expiation for not fasting, strengthening piety, promoting peace of mind and body, equality between rich and poor, reviving moral virtues and avoiding vices, the existence of God or nights in the holy month of Ramadan, reciting the Quran in Muslim countries, and the spirit of empathy and brotherhood are among the benefits and virtues of fasting during this blessed month.
Then there's just the enchantment of some places, regardless of ritual or custom. In Isfahan, you can lose yourself to the evening breeze on Zayander Road or river as you walk along its magnificent historical bridges. For religious occasions such as Ramadan, Mashhad and Qom are must-goes in Iran as they're among Shia capitals of the world. Mashhad City in Khorasan, one of Iran's 31 varied provinces, is the burial place of the 8th Shia Imam, Imam Reza, and home to the biggest mosque on earth, the Shrine of Imam Reza. And Qom, although small in size, is the burial place of Imam Reza's sister Masuma and the country's scholastic center for clerical studies. Short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Ramadan comes with different flavors. The Iranian version and flavor must be rooted in Iranian culture and tradition.
The Westerners provide humanitarian aid, but we provide faithful aid. This type of aid is superior to the humanitarian one because it's given for God. This means helping others for God and not for a transitory feeling of pity. It's considered a religious and holy act. It's a movement. It's a kind of helping where they don't seek personal benefits. The Western civilization is at fault for several reasons. They realize that they're dividing society. They promote totalitarianism, individualism, and egoism. Grassroots and faithful aid are the exact opposite. It means that one shouldn't stop at themselves, but has to care about others too, and not expect anything in return. It's a faithful help, which means the one you'll be dealing with is God, and not the person you're helping.
Plenty more to come in our showtime and days ahead by way of words, prayer and festivity. But this moment is time for a quick news break, so back indoors to see what other media outlets have to say. What they're saying basically is what world leaders have said. Tasnim News quotes Iran's president, who hopes for Muslim unity in his Ramadan message. In separate messages to the leaders of Islamic countries, Raisi said, "The scent of Ramadan is coming again, so that in this blessed month, the month of the revelation of the Quran, where human destinies are determined on a night like Qadr, it is an opportunity for Muslims and the righteous servants of God to practice piety through abstinence from sin and cultivation and purification of the soul, and to be among the pious and to attain nearness to God." He also expressed hope that with the blessings of this month full of mercy and forgiveness, and with the efforts of the leaders and thinkers of Islamic countries, and emphasizing the growing empathy and solidarity among Muslim nations, effective steps can be taken to strengthen unity and greater unity of the Islamic Ummah, especially against divisive currents and takfiri terrorism, and to see the elimination of oppression and injustice, and the establishment of peace and security throughout the world, especially in Palestine. The Tehran Times says, Iran jointly nominates iftar for UNESCO tag. Iran has submitted a dossier on the iftar meal to the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization for a possible joint registration between the Islamic Republic, Turkey, Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan. During Islam's holy month of Ramadan, believers abstain from food and drink during daylight hours and break their fast with the iftar evening meals, which vary from simple plates of bread, dates, cheese and tea to heavy ones. On March the 29th, Ali Darabi, the Deputy Minister of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts, said the dossier of iftar and its related social and cultural traditions has been sent to the UN body for further consideration. Darabi noted that the inscription file has been compiled at the suggestion of Iran and with the cooperation of Turkey, Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan and will be presented to the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage Committee in 2023. The UN website reads, UN chief calls for unity to build a peaceful world ahead of Ramadan. Highlighting it as a period of compassion and empathy, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, the holy month of Ramadan is a time for reflection and learning, an opportunity to come together and uplift each other. In his video message marking the holy month, the UN chief said that he personally had returned to fasting in solidarity, a practice he began as High Commissioner for Refugees, a title he held from 2005 through 2015. Every Ramadan, I had the honor of visiting Muslim countries, fasting in solidarity and breaking bread with people. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic made that impossible, but I'm happy to resume this tradition this year, Mr. Guterres said. Citing the Holy Quran, the UN chief said that God created nations and tribes so that we might know one another and called on people to work hand in hand for the safety, dignity and prosperity of all women and men. That'll be it for the news segment. Do stay tuned. Now, in talking of the Iranian brand of Ramadan, let's not forget the nature of the month is common to all Muslims as a reminder and practice of humane ways. And strategically speaking, it is cause for unity among them. Our guest tells of the unifying element of Ramadan in the sense it brings Muslim sects in Iran together and Muslims in the world closer.
The holy month of Ramadan creates a kind of unity and convergence among the hearts of Muslims. Fasting during the holy month lays the foundation of such a convergence. No matter where in the world they are, Muslims are required to fast. Although Shias and Sunnis have differences in some issues, there's virtually no difference of opinion between the two over fasting. All branches of Islam share the same views on the matter. In fact, the holy month of Ramadan brings the hearts of Muslims closer and strengthens the unity of the Islamic Ummah.
Back to custom and culture. In Ramadan, known as the month of God's feast, that's when Muslims are invited to a grand feast held by God. Here's what his worshippers put out in Iran generally. Many break fast with warm water or a sip of sweet tea or a date before prayer, and then sit down to the iftar table after their evening prayer. Here's what to choose from for iftar. Tea always with Zulbia Bamia, the special Ramadan sweet. Dates, bread and cheese and fresh herbs or walnuts and the like. Saffron rice pudding, or sholezad, meaning wobbly yellow, a special meat porridge called halim, which is nice with sugar, and a broth called ashreshte, which is made of noodles, beans, and herbs, as well as cutlets and scrumptious starters, say with aubergine. As you see, not eating all day, every day for a month, doesn't mean starving. Also at dawn, before the sun rises, when Muslims say their morning prayers and begin their fast, they set out a table similar to the iftar table. That's called the Sahari or dawn time table. For some, it could mean starving. But the Tehran Municipality Welfare Organization tells of how it is an organization that has tended to that.
In considering support packages for the residents in Tehran, We want to be a piece of the jigsaw puzzle that helps the citizens. We have a target community that we want better access to. Our target community includes mostly those who are considered underprivileged. There are people who, for any reason, are dealing with addiction that threatens their families. There are women who are heads of households, and we have moral obligations to them. There are families struggling with poverty. The target community was identified over the past few years, especially the last year.
I wondered if they'd had more thanks coming their way or objection by those not receiving alms. But apparently, my question was pointless, as Ramadan is just the flash in the whole year during which the homeless are provided with free shelter.
We identify those we see on the streets and talk to them and invite them over. We have patrol cars specializing in providing such services. The vehicles are tasked with identifying homeless people across the city. We have social workers on the vehicles. Sometimes people call the municipality's call center and report when they see a homeless person or one who's publicly using illegal drugs. The patrols will then be informed and get there and bring the person to the housing centers we have created across the city. They bathe and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If they are migrants and want to go back to their cities, we'll help send them. If they are homeless, we'll continue to help them.
In 2020 also, some 210,000 food packages were distributed among deprived families as part of the third phase of Iran Hamdel national campaign. That literally means sympathetic Iran. The campaign kicked off at the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. During the campaign, which carried on into subsequent years, the first 4 days of Ramadan saw under 730,000 warm meals, under 97,000 iftar packages, over 210,000 food packages distributed among the underprivileged. The campaign was first launched in 2020, aiming to provide financial assistance to the needy affected by the COVID-19 pandemic.
It's a matter of giving others what you have and putting yourself in their shoes. You shouldn't always be waiting for the government to take care of things. The government has an obligation, but what about the people? Shouldn't they have a thirst for helping people? Well, we saw that last year. The last Ramadan was one of the most remarkable since the victory of the Islamic Revolution. There hadn't been such a worldview before. We've heard from our grandparents that they'd help somebody. But we're talking here about a religious aid movement. This is a social movement. Groups of young people would provide such aid packages to those in need completely independently and without anyone asking them to. Tying such beneficence to Ramadan is extremely valuable. Therefore, Ramadan isn't about mere spirituality.
Planning is not as easy as with a solar calendar. The difference between the lunar calendar on which Ramadan is the ninth month and other calendars is the rotation. They rotate through different seasons. In 2022, Ramadan started on April the 1st and in Iran April the 2nd. It's to be a 30-day month this year. It was to unify or coordinate Muslim countries that the lunar calendar was adopted by all, otherwise it's not as reliable as the solar. For official matters and everyday life, apart from religious events, some countries like Iran hence use the solar calendar. What the month means to Muslims at large is determining.
Our studies and observations show that before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, people were mostly concerned with the superficial aspect of Ramadan. They believed the holy month as being purely ritualistic, meaning that they shouldn't have eaten or drank anything for several hours. But the change that took place, in my opinion, was that Ramadan's rituals became much deeper. We've gone past the superficial aspect and given it meaning. It doesn't mean that we don't adhere to the basic principles, but we don't stop at them either. In my opinion, Ramadan's rituals have become a means for personal transformation. We're now expecting a spiritual transformation during the holy month. We're seeing if we can develop our souls or whether we can stop a bad habit. We're not considering Ramadan as a month of mere hunger and thirst.
As the arrival of Ramadan is announced by viewing the crescent of the moon, it also ends after the crescent moon is seen again by specialists. And this is followed by the greatest prayer or namaz of Muslims. The last 10 days are especially important because the Quran was revealed on any of those 10 called Laylatul Qadr, Night of Destiny. Some people actually do itikaf or retreat into prayers during these days. The Shias of Iran celebrate the Qadr nights from the 19th to 21st of Ramadan, as those coincide with Imam Ali's assassination and his subsequent death, which was on the 21st. The three nights from the stabbing to his demise are known as the Nights of Revival, or Shabhaya Ahya. After all, however, comes celebration. How the government facilitates fasting varies year on year, but the general idea is it gives out handouts in cash or kind to the less fortunate, and for employees it cuts down on working hours.
Our cellars are spacious enough to house the homeless people across the city. There is no shortage of space to receive people, and we want to expand it further and make it so that the areas are divided for each type of guest. This means that the seasonal workers, the homeless people, or relatives of hospital patients wouldn't slip among those who are suffering from addiction. We are making improvements in that regard.
Like Nowruz, Ramadan begins and ends in special ritual or occasion, a month of abstinence from consumption and indulging in self-purification ends in Eid al-Fitr, or the fifth celebration, with family members and friends coming together for a spread, dressed to the nines. But do note, it all ends in the next month, as Eid al-Fitr is on the first day of Shawwal, the last month on the lunar calendar. Now, Fitr festivity is not to say the spirit of the month is forgotten. In fact, part of the jubilation is sharing and giving fitriya, or zakat al-fitr. That's gifts and cash which are given to the deprived or dependents. That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do join us again at the same times next week and each week after. And till then, have yourself blessed days ahead and that bowl of sholeh zard if you can come across it. Bye for now.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INIC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play. And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up. In case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky. A Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
The cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abaj archaeological park was occupied for 1700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Tikalikabaj is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even Mayan spirituality and wars wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site. A Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital Sofia on Wednesday. His first destination is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite, newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Iranian families celebrated the ancient tradition of Sizde Bedar, or Nature's Day, by spending some quality time outdoors with family. Yusuf Jalali has a story.
It's Nature's Day in Iran, and parks and countrysides are flooded with families who never miss the chance to spend the final day of Nowruz holidays out with their loved ones. The ancient occasion is called Sizde Bedar. Over the past 2 years, the festival was called off amid the coronavirus pandemic, and it's the first time in 2 years that Sizde Bedar is marked with such a huge crowd.
Because of the coronavirus, people could not go out on Sizde Bedar for 2 years in a row. And this year, the majority are vaccinated and green spaces are jam-packed with picnic goers.
We Iranians have grown up with Sizde Bedar and we never miss it. Thank God we can safely enjoy this amazing tradition this year with all our family members and relatives.
Sizde Bedar means getting rid of number 13. In Persian mythology, 13 is the bad luck number. Now Sizde Bedar is believed to chase away the bad luck and bring good vibes.
Today, we cooked special foods like ash and chicken kebab to eat them for lunch with our family members. We traditionally believe that this day brings bad luck and we must spend it outdoors with joy to get rid of it.
The event is also called the Festival of Nature, and it is an occasion to raise awareness of the need to preserve the environment.
Throughout the history, Iranians have had close relationship with nature, and that's why we have dedicated a special day in our calendar to nature. Before we leave our place here, we clean the environment.
Sizde Bedar is the final day of the two-week celebrations of the Persian New Year, known as Nowruz, which marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The tradition has been celebrated for some 3,000 years in Iran, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan, among other communities.
Everyone must have missed outdoor gatherings after more than 2 years of COVID restrictions. Now that worries over the pandemic have eased to some extent, Sizde Bedar once again reunited Iranians with Mother Nature, with all the good vibes and hope for a world free of the coronavirus. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
IRIB English Radio.